Cape Talk. Fabulous life.
Well, the last Tuesday of the month means it's time to talk style and design with Bianca Reznikov, the fabulous life of the stage mother jetting around the world. So glad to be able to squeeze you in with us today.
Thank you for fitting me in.
We are going to be chatting about an amazing design and creativity space that is just going from strength to strength in Langa. And I'll introduce our guests and tell you more about that in just a couple of minutes. But first, I really want to pick Bianca's brain a little bit about this concept of influencer marketing, because I was intrigued this morning browsing through websites, as I do at the start of every day. I found two different pieces in the British press this morning from completely different publications and commentators talking about the role of influencer marketing, specifically when it comes to the royal family. Now, I don't think anybody is suggesting that the royal family is being paid to wear somebody's brands, but the point that they were making is that they have more impact than anybody else, certainly for sales in the UK. I mean, in the one column, Meghan Markle's makeup artist speaks about how designers are clamoring to dress her, because every time she appears in one of their dresses, it's not just about the prestige. They sell out within minutes of that photograph going public. And then conversely, on the other side, the jewelry designer Anushka Dukas, who is a big favorite of Kate Middleton's, she pointed out that when Kate first wore a pair of her pearl earrings in public, she immediately saw this phenomenal surge in sales. But she said, only when it's a member of the royal family. She said none of the other so-called influencers have any tangible effect that she can see on actual sales figures. And so the concept for her of paying people large sums of money to wear your brand in public is just one that doesn't work for her, and she's turned away from. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this from a South African perspective, Bianca, because I think it's relatively fledgling in South Africa. Or am I wrong in saying that? Do we have a big influencer marketing strategy?
Well, when you sent me that article, I had to do a little bit of research to see what kind of data I could find. And there was a recently published report, The State of Influencer Marketing in South Africa, which was done by Humans, with Z at the end, who are an influencer research company. And it is one of the biggest growing marketing mediums in South Africa and around the globe, and it is growing in South Africa. But in South Africa, it's something called nano influencers. So these are people who have followers less than 15,000 that are trusted more by their followers. They also say that they have a kind of more of a quality follower, and that one in two of their followers will listen to what they're doing. And so I looked into who some of the influencers were.
Yeah.
And one of the big influencers is a young style queen called Nadia Jafta. And she does comedy skits, and she's into fashion and lifestyle. And she's an ambassador for Diesel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, huge influencer, about 250,000 followers. And also, I believe these days, you no longer go into businesses and give your business card anymore. You now give your Instagram handle.
I really have to learn how to use Instagram one day. I do. I know.
Just jump in.
But Instagram is where it's happening. I mean, I know we can talk about the number of South Africans who've got huge Twitter followings. That's very passé, isn't it? It's all happening on Instagram.
I think Twitter also has a certain kind of influence. But when it comes to lifestyle and beauty and fashion and design, Instagram is where a lot of creative people find a home.
Do you, as a matter of interest, have you ever gone out and bought an item because you saw somebody who you admire or you follow on a social media platform wearing it or talking about it?
I don't know if I would buy an item, be driven to actually buy an item, but I've certainly been inspired by visuals of people that I follow. And, you know, the reason why they say the nano influencers are more influential is because there's a certain trust when people have less followers. You know, when it's a big person, like in South Africa, the queen is Bonang.
Yes.
Okay, so she's got over 2 million followers. You sometimes feel like their accounts are being managed by a team. So when you get answers from them, or they like something, or you like, you just don't feel like it's personal. So it's those nano influencers who are on the rise. So no, I haven't bought something, but I certainly have been inspired by style of someone that I admire on Instagram. Sure.
Okay, I'm intrigued to hear from our listeners whether this is something that you are cognizant of or even aware of. Have you ever consciously gone out and bought something? It doesn't have to be a piece of fashion or jewelry. Maybe it was something else, but have you consciously gone and bought something because somebody that you follow on a social media platform endorsed it or wore it because you saw that photograph and thought, that looks amazing on her and it would look good on me too. I'm interested to hear whether it has impacted on your decisions. I've had one message already in from somebody saying, I have done so for small things like jewelry and, interestingly, food, but never for makeup or cars or bigger items.
Recipes are great to follow on Instagram. You know,
absolutely,
get inspiration,
yes,
to make meals. Another influencer is Thick Leonce. Okay, she's a plus size model.
Yeah.
So, you know, how amazing for,
I love
people
this,
who relate,
yeah,
to that, to see where to shop. You know, it's often something that magazines don't even look at or market or even think is necessary to market. Such a huge following she has. Also over thousands of followers.
That makes a lot of sense.
Suzelle DIY.
Yep.
And I just want to add, this is a very female-dominated domain, influences in South Africa.
Okay, so maybe we can have a conversation. Leave us a voice note on 0725671567 or call us on 021-446-0567 and tell us whether influencer marketing works on you. Has it prompted you to go and make a particular purchase deliberately and consciously because of it being recommended by an influencer? Are you perhaps a business owner? Is this something that you feel is an essential part of your marketing arsenal going forward? Or is it something that you feel doesn't work for you? A reminder again, that jewelry designer Anushka Dukha saying, it doesn't work for me unless it is a member of the royal family. That's different. There is, I don't know whether it's to do with the prestige and the cachet, Bianca.
That they're honorable in their choices, you know, that it's not necessarily in order to sell it, but because it's personal choice.
Absolutely, yes. And that they haven't been told you must wear the smaller pair, not the bigger pair, because the royal style guide dictates XYZ. Yeah, quite a complicated one. But interested to hear what our listeners think. Okay, so your SMS is to 31567, your voice notes to 0725671567 or call us on 021-446-0567. Few bits and pieces of design news, but we're going to leave those for the end because, Bianca, I want us to get a good chunk of time,
yes,
for our main topic today, which is looking at the work of an inspiring NPO called Our Workshop. It's essentially a shared, free-for-use community space in Langa where all sorts of amazing creative things are happening. So over to you, Bianca, to introduce our guests.
Okay, so Our Workshop, as you said, is a non-profit organization based in Langa, and it is creating and sparking professional growth for creatives who are in the township, coming to the space and making things. And welcome to the show, founder and artist Heath Nash and Sizwe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Great to have you with us. Yeah.
Tell us, Heath, how did it all start in Langa?
Well, it didn't start in Langa. It started in town, actually. And it started as an idea because Cape Town is still lacking spaces for people from different cultural backgrounds and different races to hang out. Mm. And so I had an opportunity to open and start the organization in the city, but I couldn't get enough people of color due to all of the stuff that we all know about in Cape Town, segregation that we live mm. with, to the space. You know, so then eventually the chance opened up that we could take over a space at the Guga Setebe mm-hmm. Cultural Center in Langa. And suddenly the whole thing really just came to life because the people in the neighborhood need it and want to work together.
Tell us a little bit about the real life projects that you mentioned on your website and projects you've been busy with at the moment.
So we all share the space and we make things together, but we've also started doing larger commercial projects as a team. So this can hopefully and has started to bring income into the team as well, which is really great. We did a really beautiful ceiling panel for a new Woodstock restaurant over the December period. It's not quite finished yet, but it's made of, I think, 3,000 milk bottles.
Amazing.
We cut each of the milk bottles in half, and then we made all these leaves. Very, very beautiful end result. So what's amazing is with many hands, you can make very, very, very beautiful things. And everyone takes a little piece of the pie. So it's a very exciting way to work.
So tell us also about the award that you recently won, which was awarded to you by the Guild.
It was so amazing to get some recognition as a design discipline, social design. Generally, I think it's across the globe, social design isn't really seen as being as important as product design or fashion design or graphic design. But it's a very important category of design. It changes lives,
exactly.
Which is
super important.
So important, but it is really it's design. So it was wonderful to get some recognition from Guild for that.
It was a social innovation award, correct?
Yeah, the Design with Purpose Award.
Mm.
And yeah, I think it was amazing for us as a team to go up and receive it because we really are literally building this organization together. It's not, we are building a new way for something like this to exist.
Let's bring in Sizwe Shumane now. Tell us how you came to meeting Heath at our workshop.
I was met at our workshop 2017 at 7 December. That time I was working with my brother. He was using a wood to make the cupboards. So when I have a time, I was just go around to the town to look the place to sell my stuff. Because that time I was using plastic and wire to make a big five animals.
Mm.
So I was meet another lady there. They told me about the Hidnesh. And then they give me a direction, and then I was go straight, and then I was with it.
So Sizwe met us when we were in town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you've migrated with him to Gugusebe.
Yes.
Sizwe, tell us what you find when you go into our workshop. We've kind of described the concept, but let's talk a little bit about what is actually there and what's happening on the ground.
That time I was entering the doors of our workshop, I was seeing the material that the people, I don't buy material here. They just collect things on the streets, and then they make that thing I'm doing in my future. So I was happy.
So collecting, okay. Heath, I mean, in terms of tools and I don't even have the vocab for it, things to work with, how does it work?
The central thing is that we only use waste materials because they're in a very, well, not totally free always, but they're inexpensive and easy to, there's a lot of that, right? So as at the core of the concept, it's using upcycling to create valuable things. And then we've got very basic hand tools. We've got scissors, we've got spikes, we've got needles and thread, a lot of stitching. No one in school these days, even the privileged kids, get a chance to learn how to stitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. So it's really important. We're trying to share. Also, in township spaces, there's no creative education in schools anymore. So it's this kind of double barrel thing. Hopefully, by creating a sort of a platform of young adults that take on this kind of idea of handwork, they can share it with slightly younger kids, and slowly we'll get. It's so useful to know these things. So useful to know how to stitch and make.
How many people are working in our workshop?
Like between 15 and 20. Some people not in every day, but I mean, we've got a 12, 15 people all the time, every day of the week.
And do you have a need for raw materials, or do you have a need for bottles? Or
we love colorful bottles. It's quite easy to get white milk bottles because there's so many of them, but we love shampoo bottles. We love Domestos bottles. Orange is difficult to get right now.
Okay.
Red is also quite difficult to get around.
Is this something you would like people to get involved in donating?
It would be beautiful, but we don't have enough storage space for them. So we'd like a shipping container too, please.
Okay, so I'm making notes here. So orange and red bottles, I'm sort of thinking through my cupboards. And
the funny thing is they go through style. So at the moment, there's nothing on the shelves that's orange and red. So it's so weird, like looking at...
I'm thinking Domestos is orange and red.
Mr. Muscle has got an orange kitchen spray.
Yes.
I know it's sitting in my kitchen cupboard. Yes, okay. Okay, so a shipping container for extra storage plus donations of bottles. You know what I love about this, Bianca, is this concept of upcycling, and I think of also fixing things. As you say, kids are not being taught how to... sew back on a button or sew up a hem. They just throw it away and buy a new one, and it's become this sort of disposable culture.
It's so
that you're flipping on its head. Really,
totally important to fix your things and to get, you know, care about your belongings, and also to spend time together is the underlying thing.
Yeah. So that's the other thing.
When you're making stuff, you are spending time because it takes time to make, and that's what enables this cultural integration and the social. It's really exciting because I've grown so much in the past year and a half since we've been in Langa, and I can see that all the members of the workshop have really influenced each other because we're spending time together, and there's no better way to.
What about skill sharing? Are you inviting people in from the CBD with skills, and are there workshops that you offer for the general public? And are people coming to Langa? Do they feel safe to come to Langa?
But that's the thing. So, no, we can't get people from the CBD to come to Langa. So it's again, like, it was crazy when we were in town. We couldn't do one thing, and now we're in Langa. We can't
do
the other thing.
Problem,
but it's an indicative of what the problem of the city is. Mm. And that's what we started the organization for. So I think slowly in time, hopefully, we can attract more people with a bit more privilege.
Do you host workshops?
We started out hosting workshops, but it was quite administratively heavy, and we didn't get people that would come and could donate money for them.
Mm.
So it wasn't working.
Mm.
But we held quite a few. We do crochet. We've done like making mistakes workshop. That was beautiful. Because mistakes are where all the beauty comes in. And then also fixing. We did a whole fix week last year. Mm. We're going to do a fix week this year as well. So we put out invitations on Facebook for those things. That's where you can keep up.
And where can people donate bottles? And I know you mentioned to me when we were talking before the show that something else that you like are discarded devices, things that tablets that don't work anymore, old cell phones.
Absolutely, but and also e-waste. It's electronic waste.
E-waste,
also, like I know that some people have got telephones that work also in their drawer, and maybe old iPads that work, maybe laptops that still work.
Mm.
Also, that's a huge problem. We don't have any tech yet.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm sure in Cape Town there's people out there with stuff that works perfectly well, and this is the thing. How do we encourage sharing skills, time, knowledge, device, everything? Because that's where that's the only way forward.
If I may, I'd just like to interrupt you, and I want to ask Siz where the impact that the space has had on you, on your work, on your view of the city you live in and the people you share it with.
Yes, I share with people, and then we also teach kids. Every time the kids after school are coming, and when we saw the kids how to stitch, how to cut the bottles, how to use a scissor, how to use a pliers. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. And do the kids keep coming back?
Yes, the kids always are coming. The different kids every day, every time, because I'm always there in our workshop.
And you enjoy and you enjoy sharing with
them. I'm enjoying because I love to teach kids what I'm doing.
Tell us a bit about Africa Burn. You went to Africa Burn recently. How was that experience?
Do you want to take it? Seems where
to be there in Africa Burn was nice. It was very nice, and I wish to go back again next year.
It was an amazing thing. We managed to raise. We did fundraising like for the project for the first time, and we raised the money. So it was really exciting as a group to pull off this big. It was a big mission, you know.
Mm.
But also, it sort of forged us into this amazing team because we had to battle everything together in the desert. And it was fun. It was a perfect way to grow our connections between us as well.
And you were an endorsed project. I mean, the Burn invited
you. We got a grant from them, a small grant, which was amazing. So also, what I'm planning is that we can, over the next 5 to 10 years, help to also kind of equalize or help, you know, they do very good outreach stuff already or social stuff.
Yes.
But it would be great if we could help facilitate more inclusion of people of color into the Burn as well.
Absolutely. And were you fixing things? What were you doing at the Burn?
We were making. Do you want to
fix and making?
Yeah.
If the people have a problem with the shoes, they're coming and they bring you the glue.
And you could fix it?
Yeah.
I mean, that is very useful and
so
something
good.
That we don't do in our everyday society. People are so quick to throw away and buy something new.
Fast fashion.
Exactly. Yeah. And just to constantly consume.
Yeah.
So have you found that people in Lange, the community in general, will they come to you for fixing or anything like that? What has the community accepted you there?
It's been a long process, and it's amazing now the way that people have really cottoned onto the fact that the space is for everyone and it's for free. and it's taken a while for people to understand that.
What is the best way for people to get hold of you if they want to donate bottles or maybe a shipping container or help in any way, really? Mm-hmm. What is the best way?
Well, our Facebook, actually, your earlier conversation about Instagram is really interesting because I've got the most amazing connections through Instagram.
Really?
Really. And my first volunteers, ex-art school students have contacted me through Instagram and they've come to help. It's a very, very powerful tool. And this is the problem, unfortunately, with the tech, because most of the members don't have phones that can do Instagram and Facebook. So you can't learn integral business skills, which that's the center of business now is social media. So unless you have access to these things, it's quite a stunting.
Can I interrupt there? I think we've got a couple of voice notes that have come through on that subject. So while we're talking about it, let's take a listen to those and hear what they said.
Okay.
Hi, Pippa and Bianca. I am loving your conversation on Instagram followers and success stories. I make natural raw dog food as a hobby and sell it online and in a few shops, and it's called Country Dog Food, and the response and sales have been phenomenal just through Instagram and Facebook and hashtagging, so it's been definitely worthwhile for my side.
There you go.
Hi, this is Wendy Nola. I thought I'd have my two cents worth about the subject of influencers and their influence.
I'm not a huge fan of the concept, obviously, having been a journalist for so long, and we operate, you know, with no fear or favor. So what you get is independent thought, not swayed by any free goodies or holidays or anything else that we might have got. But having said that, there are some that I've discovered that are worth following, that give you credible, quite balanced, warts and all type of reviews and whatever. They don't just sort of slap a picture of something on and say, check out this wonderful new whatever product. And the one that I really enjoy following is Lee Vandenberg, and she's a lip gloss girl.
She's fantastic.
I'm not on Instagram. I only follow her on Twitter. And she does great reviews. She'll say you can get this product at half the price of that product, and it does the same thing. Or, you know, she does little demos and all sorts of things. And I actually find her very much worth following. She also does great travel stuff, and as I say, warts and all. So you're not just getting the gloss and the this is how I'm paying for my whatever. You get the sense that you're getting something well considered and very credible.
Isn't Lee the lady who joined us in studio at the height of Day Zero with so many fantastic tips on how to survive your beauty regime with limited water? She is. My producer's nodding. I am correct. So thanks for the suggestion there, Wendy. I think there's one more voice note. Let's just hear that before you start rapping.
Hi, Pippa. This is Laurie Wiener from Beauty Bulletin. I just heard your discussion now about influencer marketing, and I just wanted to say that our company, Beauty Bulletin, believes in only working with nano influencers. That's what we've always done. Authenticity is what it's all about. We actually don't pay influencers to get involved, so they share their real honest reviews, and we're very targeted. We've been around for 10 years, as that has been my focus, and I only see the growth getting much bigger. I'd love to chat more, and I was very interested to hear that you guys are talking about this. It made me feel great, and very excited. So I'd love to.
Well, thanks, Laurie, and I hope my producer's taking note of Laurie's number, because that is a conversation we can continue. But there's some great examples, and thank you, Wendy, by the way, for calling in. Looking forward to having you with us tomorrow. But Heath, I mean, lots of threads to pick up on there, speaking to authenticity, speaking to the connections and the sense of real connections being made between people, which is really what you're trying to do.
Absolutely. And
at the workshop.
It feels so good. It really is amazing. Yeah.
How would you like to get business more involved in your project?
Sure, there's so many ways. I mean, you know, as a registered NPO, there are ways that we can. I'm still working on public benefit organization status, so we can't yet give you tax breaks, but we will be able to soon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, people with corporate social investment budgets would love to meet you.
Do you think local businesses embrace the idea of speculative design and design thinking? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's got a few. People sometimes think design thinking is about post-it notes and sitting in a circle talking about stuff, but it's really just a process that leads to a good result. And it's kind of, if I can explain it this way, like as a designer, over many years, you do design thinking because it's the best way to get from. So it's the way designers think.
Yeah.
But the design thinking process is just taking it and making it into a very easy to follow process for anyone. So in effect, anyone can be a designer.
But it's not just about product. It's not product driven. I think that's very important.
Solving problems or. And we're building our workshop through the same process. So we're sharing the design thinking process in how we build the organization, also how we design products. So it's kind of a very interesting circular thing.
I just want to ask one question. That restaurant that you did, can you tell us where it is so we can go look at it?
It's at the Ironworks building.
Okay.
It's part of a development called Good Woodstock.
And you've done this panel made out of milk bottles. I want to go and see that.
Quite a lot of square meters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Worth checking out. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Heath Nash and Sizwe Shumane, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about our workshop. Just two snippets of news, if we can. Bianca, a heads up, and this is far in advance.
Yeah.
But for the art fans, Zeitsmoker is going to be hosting a huge William Kentridge show in August. So mark your calendar for the 24th, 25th of August, which is the opening weekend. The biggest collection of his work seen in Africa in over a decade. So that's going to include sculpture, video, print, stop frame, animation, obviously drawings, and some large-scale installation as well. So that's one to add to the diary. And then while we're talking design, fascinating design unveiled or busy being unveiled at the waterfront, because the new swing bridge has started going in. And I don't know if everybody was aware of the fact that a new version was being built. It's connecting the older part of the waterfront to the Battery Park silo district, okay, etc. And This is a piece of design 6 years in the making, that's actually come together quite quickly through the construction phase. But SMEC South Africa designed it over 6 years. It's a 55-ton bridge that will do a full rotation in less than a minute. And obviously it has to be able to swing open to let ships and vessels through and then swing closed to allow pedestrian traffic over.
Where will it
over.
Connect from?
I think the Den Anker side. So okay, for right. you to be able to basically cross over the entrance into the deeper parts of the harbour section. And that's an awful explanation. But it will allow you to walk from the old part of the waterfront uninterrupted across to the silo without having to dodge around and over and get around. So that they've got to take away the old bridge, which has been there for quite a long time, and install the new one via crane and barge, etc. So it's all underway. If you're at the waterfront, go and check it out, because it's quite a quick final process to slot it all together, and then 18th of June is when it will open to the public. So that's worth looking out for on your next visit to the waterfront. With that, we say bon voyage to Bianca, who is flying off with the cast of Matilda to spend some time traveling that production, and good luck to you. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. Break a leg.
Thank you.
And we look forward to having you back a little bit later in the year.
Thanks so much, Pippa.
It's just gone 2 o'clock. Let's get the latest Eyewitness News.